Hey there. Welcome to the Loco Travel Life Podcast, where we, two moms and sisters, share our experiences of traveling with our kiddos. I'm Lindsay, or as my nephews call me, Lolo.
And I'm Carly, aka Auntie Coco, and we're your hosts.
I'm pretty excited for this episode. I have a special guest with me today, my husband, Obi. Yep, I convinced him to come on the show, so thanks for being here.
No problem, it's good to be here.
If you're new here, Obi and I have been married for just about 10 years, and we have a very adventurous 2.5-year-old Kai, and one of our favorite things to do as a family is hike and explore. If you follow along on Instagram, you recently saw that we took a quick weekend trip as a family to Denver, Colorado. This trip was new for us because this was Obi's first time flying with Kai alone. On today's episode, we're going to be breaking down how Obi's experience went as flying for the first time. And we're also going to talk about processing some big emotions on the trip, because we know that that happens as couples and families, and we want to share the real and vulnerable moments that happen on trips so that you know that you're not alone, and also so that you know that you can process through those emotions and you don't have to let it ruin the entire trip. So let's dive in, Obi, and we want to hear how your first solo dad flight went with Kai. So can you give us a little backstory and tell us, how did it come to be that you were taking this solo trip with Kai?
Well, you had a work trip planned and you were there for the whole week. So I was on Kai duty for most of the week, but we love hiking. So we decided that we would take that weekend trip and hike. And we decided that I would fly out there with Kai. You made all the travel arrangements. Thank you very much for that. But we had a flight that was simple flight, one layover from Cleveland to Chicago, Chicago to Denver, and things went kind of crazy from there. We got to the airport after work was over. We were following the plan. You know, we got some Chick-fil-A, you know, get our tummies full, be ready for the flight, and our flight got canceled. 4 additional hours that I wasn't expecting, and that obviously pushed back all of our layovers and everything too. It got kind of crazy really fast, but luckily I used a lot of the tricks that I've seen from what you've done when you've flown with Kai to keep him occupied and keep him going through that time. It was definitely not how the plan was supposed to go, and it was supposed to be a lot easier than what it was, but you know, we got through that.
Did it take a lot of convincing on my part for you to fly solo with Kai?
I don't know if there was a lot of convincing for it, but it was definitely a scary thought. I mean, you've obviously flown with Kai by yourself, you know, quite a few times, but me doing it by myself, I've never done that before. You have all the tricks of the trade from doing it with you. But when we fly, it's usually as a family.
So how did you feel about flying solo with Kai?
I was nervous at first. The change in plans made everything a lot more complicated. It felt like the plan blew up in my face and I just had to, you know, dad improvise. But as I kept going on and doing it, it was super easy.
So when you say it was pretty easy, what aspects were easy? Unpack that a little bit.
It was easy in the fact that what we usually do was the same kind of process as what we do when we're solo. Things like, you know, getting him on the plane, holding his hand down the jet bridge, installing his car seat, getting him in his car seat, getting him situated, activities to do while en route in the air. All those are the same. It's just with one person instead of two. So I think maybe the hardest thing would be doing it for the first time together. But after that first time and you get that routine, it's all kind of the same thing, no matter what other kind of flights that you take.
So you'd do it again?
I'd do it again, especially if we were going somewhere fun.
I'll be planning another trip in our future and you can bring Kai with you. So from your perspective, when you were flying solo with Kai, is there anything that you learned that you would pass along to fellow parents that have a trip where they're flying solo?
I think the first thing to do is to breathe and be flexible. Obviously, I really needed that, having the cancellation on my flight. Little things like we walked around the airport 2 times. That got out energy, that kept us occupied. Airports have a lot of cool things in them that you don't even think of. We spent 15 minutes looking at a dinosaur skeleton that the Cleveland Natural History Museum had on display in the terminal. That we just found that by walking through the airport because we had time to kill. I know a lot of airports, like in Chicago, have play places for kids. That's great. It's such a boon for, you know, your kids to be able to run around, get out some energy. I think being able to be flexible is key, being creative with activities like that. And then also having a plan. Know what your plan is going to be for when it's time to get on the plane. If you're solo, you're doing everything, but know how to install your car seat on the plane before you fly. Have things that you need for your child with you, games, snacks, sensory objects to help out. So just having a little bit of a plan goes a long way, I think, with traveling.
I would agree with that. Now we're going to transition a little bit and talk about our experience in Denver as a family. In one of the Instagram posts that I shared, I mentioned that we had a pretty big snafu on this trip. I didn't say what it was because I really wanted to save that for this episode, because we want to share not only the really good moments, but also the hard ones, those real life moments that happen on trips. The ones that you usually don't take your camera out to capture. So we're going to let you guys in on how we processed through something very unexpected and how we handled our emotions. We're going to just dive right in. Okay, so we're going to transition a little bit. So as we mentioned, Obi was flying to Denver to meet me. I had spent the week in Denver for work, so really didn't explore Denver. I was in downtown Denver on a work trip, so didn't get to do any hikes or anything like that. So was really excited to have the family join me. And this was the first time that we really have done anything like this as a family. And so we had a lot planned for the weekend. We love to hike. So I think we had 5 or 6 hikes planned. And we, spoiler alert, we only got in 3 of the initial 5 or 6 that were planned. And that's just because we were trying to be flexible. So we want to talk about one of the experiences we had our first morning. So Friday morning, as Obi mentioned, there was a delay. So we got to the hotel probably at 1 a.m. and everybody's really tired. So we knew pretty quickly that we were going to have to pivot on Friday. So we took a look at our itinerary of the things that we wanted to do, and we decided to do Garden of the Gods. It was an hour and a half drive from our hotel. We slept in, got up, and got going. We drove that hour and a half to Colorado Springs. And this is when we had our first very real marriage moment on the trip. I think if your parents listening, you can probably relate to emotions being really high on family vacations or trips. And so we want to share one of those moments with you so you can kind of feel like, oh, it's normal to have disagreements and have things happen, and then tell you how we kind of processed through that and worked through that so that it didn't ruin our whole trip.
Should I set the stage a little bit?
Sure.
So we just finished an hour and a half car ride. We get out of the car in the parking lot. We do the whole family potty time and everything like that to get ready for our hike at Garden of the Gods. We finally make it to the trailhead. We've just been driving for an hour and a half. We have a little bit less sleep in us because of the delay. So we're a little tired. We're just kind of waking up. We're trying to get going. Think about your emotions in a time frame like that. And then we get to our next part of our setup, and I'll let Lindsay take it from here, is we get to the trailhead, and we start to put on our sunscreen.
We're already testy at this point, tired and ready to get going, but we need to stop and put sunscreen on. We get Kai out of the pack, and I take off my wedding rings because I cannot stand getting sunscreen in them. So like I normally do, I take them off and put them in my pant pockets. And of course, while this is happening, Obi gets a phone call from some contractors back home.
They had called earlier this week, between Monday or Friday, you know, we'll see if we can get out there to get this work done. And of course, you know, the only day we took off was Friday to go on this trip. And that's exactly the day when they wanted to call and get this done.
In hindsight, we definitely should have taken a breath to figure out the next right move, but we both went into action mode. Obi started making phone calls, and I was like, okay, I've got Kai, so I take him and we walk around. Again, not the best idea since Kai is tired, and this leads us into our next snafu.
So the next snafu was Lindsay was getting him all wrangled and saying, okay, where are we going to go from here? And I said, I don't know, because it was usually my responsibility to plan the hikes. Lindsay gets us all packed up and ready to go, and then I know where we're going. I had researched this hike and found one trail that seemed good, but there's multiple different trails at Garden of the Gods. And I was just kind of making it more of a game time decision, but Lindsay was quite perturbed that I didn't have it all set in stone right away and trying to figure things out as she's tired chasing Kai around and getting sunscreen on while I'm trying to figure out where we're going to be walking. She was ready for me to know where we're going.
That is very true. How we typically plan hikes is Obi looks on all trails, maps it out, is like, okay, is this the hike we can do? And I usually say yes or no, depending on a variety of circumstances. I love that. And so I was getting really frustrated and I was angry in that moment that we didn't have a plan. If you know me, if you've been listening to our podcast for a little bit, I like having a plan. I can be flexible, but I think in this moment, I was feeling a lot of hurt and anger because this was a place that I wanted to go. And what it felt like for me was that you didn't put in a lot of time to pick the exact hike that we were going to do. Again, that might not have been true. That might not have been what was happening for you, but that's what I felt. I felt like, oh, he's mapped out all of these other hikes that he wants to do. And the one hike that I want to do, he didn't spend enough time knowing a plan. Now, I know that you wanted to pick the best one and get there and see everything that was going on and see which one was going to be the best. But that I didn't know that, and you didn't articulate that to me when we were making these decisions.
Yeah, the communications were definitely kind of down, especially being tired and going through the car ride and everything like that. And probably the best thing to have done in that situation is communicate better, and we probably would have had a better time. We ended up doing the hike that I originally planned way back before the trip even started, but I think what I should have verbalized is that I wanted to check out and make sure that there wasn't anything else better there when we got there, to make sure that we were going on, we were making the best use of our time to see all the sites. Now, the hike that I planned out that we ended up doing ended up being amazing, and we got to see all the great sights on it. But definitely talking more probably would have solved a lot of issues.
Yes, we are tired. We are now both frustrated with each other because we're not communicating very well.
And this gets better.
Yep, it gets better. We finally get our son back in his pack. We start the trail. We are not even on the main trail. Like, we made it to the trailhead, but we're like not on the trail part yet. And so at this point, I'm like, oh, I should probably put my wedding rings back on. And this is where everything starts to escalate a little bit quicker. I don't know what happened, but I was missing one of my wedding bands. We're already not happy with each other. Add in a stressor of losing a pretty valuable piece. I'm not super sentimental in terms of things, but this was a pretty big thing to just misplace on the trail.
You said that you misplaced your wedding bands. Me, you know, and my personality combined with what I was feeling at that time, I went into immediate fix-it mode. So here I am starting to scan the ground, not listening to anything that you're saying, ignoring Kai, who's kind of upset that he's in his pack again and probably want a snack or something. It's like, oh, I just got to fix this so we can continue on this trip and we can have a good time. I'm just in my own world, serpentining the trail, looking for any glimmer where the wedding band could be. All the while, I feel like everyone else is probably pretty upset with me.
Yes, I was incredibly frustrated with Obi because we've been learning what our triggers are over the past year and trying to work on communicating better. And Obi is reverting to his, what feels like for me, ignoring me, not talking to me, and not communicating with me. So I'm already feeling a lot of guilt and shame because I just lost a very valuable piece of jewelry. And now my husband is not talking to me and not communicating with me, and our two-year-old is not happy. We probably look like a hot mess on this trail.
I don't think it was probably. We were looking like a hot mess.
I would just have loved to have been a passerby. I wonder what anybody was thinking when they passed us by.
Probably that one couple, when we said, you know, what we were doing, they're probably and said, man, I'm so glad we're not that couple right now.
Obi is in his, like, I'm just going to fix it mode. And I'm in this mode of like, man, I don't want to ruin this whole thing. Like, what's the plan? The probability of us finding this band is, in my mind, extremely unlikely. Why are we going to spend our time at this beautiful place? It's limited. We have ring insurance. Thank goodness. I don't know how many minutes into looking at it, but I was like, how long are we going to look? You did not answer my question. At this point, I had no idea that you intended to keep looking until we found it.
We hadn't covered a lot of distance yet, so I knew that our search zone was very, very limited. And I figured that if we spent enough time and, you know, was so thorough enough that we were going to find it. I was really just kind of locked into like what steps have we taken since she's taken it off. That zone was very slim. So I really, really, really want to do this because I feel like if we didn't find it, we would have that gray cloud hanging over us the rest of the trip.
Yes. He is in this mode of like, I'm going to cover every square inch of this. And me, the planner, is like, we need to have a plan. Who's going to cover what area? Where are we going to be looking? And I love you, but you were not talking to me.
You're like, what's the plan? Where are you going to do? And I'm like, zoom, 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 trying to find, you know, where exactly this ring is.
There was a lot of me trying to get you to communicate with me. And there was a lot of you ignoring me.
Mm-hmm.
But thankfully, we found the ring.
You found the ring.
I found the ring right where I started to take the rings out of my pants. And I really should have, that should have been the first place that I looked. But I was most concerned that I had dropped it by the trailhead. That's where I had taken them off to put the sunscreen on. So in my head, I had thought, oh, I probably dropped them when I put them in, not when I took them out. Praise the Lord that we found the wedding ring because it would have probably not been a great day. I mean, we probably would have been able to process through it, but I personally probably would have had a lot of guilt and shame that I had lost something extremely valuable.
Yeah, and I probably would have been a little upset as well. But I'm so happy that we found it because we were really able to enjoy the beauty of nature where we were at afterwards. We also needed some cool down time, I think, after that altercation for us to kind of get through all the emotions and everything like that to keep moving on.
I would say probably 5 minutes after we were walking, we were a little still upset with each other. We were trying to come down off of being very intense with each other. Why don't you kind of explain what was happening for you? And I guess I should preface this with my personality. How I like to do things is I like to talk about it right away when it happens.
Sometimes I need to cool down first to be able to have a conversation in the right headspace and not just dismiss you. That's kind of, especially, you know, all these emotions are amplified by travel. Using that time and space to cool down so I can speak kindly and actually process through, you know, what happened, you know, where was I not nice to you? Where were you not nice to me? How can we move past this?
Yeah. And so what we've been working on as a couple is really trying to process through what's happening when it's happening. For me, I kind of have shared that I was feeling guilt and shame for losing the ring in the first place, and then hurt and lonely when you weren't communicating your plan with me. And I also felt a lot of anger in feeling so distant from you and feeling so frustrated that we were not being very kind to each other. So what was happening for you?
I was feeling quite upset that you were accusing and exploding on me. At least that's what it felt like in the moment when I was just trying to lock in and fix things. But, you know, obviously I wasn't communicating any of that. So how would you possibly know? Obviously what we do in the moment can differ much than, you know, what was played in our minds. And so I was just trying to cool down from all those angry feelings I was having towards you for, he's like, hey, I'm just trying to do the right thing here and fix the problem. But it's hard to fix a problem if you just kind of railroad through everyone to try and get to the solution.
So the point really of us sharing this story was that things like this happen on vacation because you're tired, things don't go as planned. And so I think in the past, like if I think back to vacations that we've taken in the past before we've been working on these tools, is that we would have let this ruin our whole day. Or I would have held these feelings of resentment and anger for you all day. And it likely could have put a very not positive memory of being at this beautiful location. Because we were able to process through it, yeah, it was a really hard moment. It was probably a really hard 30 to 45 first minutes when we got there. But we were able to talk through our feelings and we were able to still enjoy Garden of the Gods. But if I think back to other vacations, I don't know if it's been your experience, but if we've had a blow up or miscommunication, it kind of ruined the whole day for me.
Yeah, it could definitely possibly shut down an entire day, which is really disappointing when you're only, you know, traveling for a limited amount of time. Ruining that time is quite sad. But I think when you're able to work through conflict, and that can be conflict with anyone, conflict with your spouse, conflict with your partner, conflict with your children. When you're able to work through all these little bouts of conflict, you can really enjoy the togetherness that is the family time that you get to spend together.
I 100% agree. Thank you so much for being here and being so vulnerable and talking through our experience in Denver. For those of you listening, I hope that this shared that real moments happen on vacation. It's okay to have disagreements, moments of stress on vacations. They're going to happen, but having the proper tools to be able to communicate through those so that it doesn't ruin the whole day is really important. If you're wondering, okay, Lindsay and Obi, where did you learn how to process your emotions? So it's been a lot of personal growth and development. There's been counseling, but one podcast in particular that we've listened to that has really given us these tools to communicate our feelings is the Connection Code podcast. So I would highly encourage you, if you're encouraged by this, you're like, oh, this sounds like a conversation I've had with my husband before or my significant other, you know, check out their podcast. It's really great. They give you some really good tools on how to identify and process your emotions in real time. So thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode and can't wait to see you on the next one.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Loco Travel Life podcast. Until next time, Loco Travel Lifers, get out there. Face the loco and enjoy your next adventure. You've got this.